Hi, and welcome to the Mira Nomás podcast, formerly known as Amigapreneur. This is Jay, your host. Here you'll join me in talking life transition because I'm the self-proclaimed life transition queen. We'll also talk identity loss, feeling stuck and getting unstuck, and how to embody that next level main character energy. I'll also bring on dope women of color, entrepreneurs, and creatives to talk about how they went from a mediocre life to living their dreams. Want to help support the podcast? Don't forget to subscribe. For exclusive content and interviews, join our membership. And you'll not only be helping a creative, but you'll also be supporting a person with disabilities continue to bring you all the great podcast episodes you enjoy. Thank you in advance for your support. Hey, everyone. This is Jacqueline. It's been a minute since I was on here. I think the last time I recorded something was around, I want to say February, March, and things have really changed. I've definitely missed doing the podcast so much because I enjoy creativity. And today I'm actually going to talk about creativity as medicine and how much it's helped me that I continued to be creative while I was going through my recovery. If you're new here, I actually experienced an injury and I was bedridden for months, then on a walker and then on a cane, and now I'm walking. Things are much, much better, but I would say I'm about 80%. I'm not 100%. I'm definitely not running and dancing, which is another thing of mine that is medicine, and another thing that I'm not able to do. Two things that have been a medicine for me throughout my healing process, just in my life, whether I was experiencing something physical or something trauma related, my healing was always to write, to journal. Even before journaling was like a thing that I even knew about, even before I can say anything out loud, my medicine, journaling was definitely a way that I was able to express the things that were inside me that were unsaid or unprocessed. And then I didn't realize that the way I kind of shook things out of me was dancing. And I've definitely talked about this on the podcast in the past. And those things, two things I feel were taken away from me because I couldn't sit and write all of these emotions that I was going through, and I couldn't dance them out. I couldn't shake them out because I was bedridden. And so what I started doing was going to something else that was my medicine that I hadn't really realized that created a foundation for me, and that was to be creative. You know, I created this podcast and this platform that was so different from my everyday 9-to-5, just regular life, where I could create a community where I can highlight women of color who were doing these amazing things. And then I actually became kind of like a documentary documenting my evolution into creating, you know, a podcast, and then I guess being more creative and sharing my writing and my journey, not just other people. And now what happened is anytime I was going through anything, I had created this platform to share it with others, and I had created a platform to allow other women to share their transformation, their creativity, their businesses. And I say all that to say because I'm realizing that we all have this different medicine to help heal us throughout our journey. Now, as I share what's been happening with me, I've started to think about monetizing the things that come natural to us, the things that are not just skills, right? Because I think we take our creativity and we're able to turn that into a skill. Every day that we continue to put this work out there, we're sharpening our skills, our writing skills, our, even for me, it's like my production skills. I didn't realize that the podcast that I was producing, I came up with show ideas, I recorded it, I got guests, I got better at interviewing. I, you know, started creating videos because of that. I started getting comfortable with creating videos and putting them out there. So my presentation skills, being on camera, all of those skills started to improve. And I started being, you know, told how natural I was coming off and how the ease of it. And I was like, if people only knew how much practice it takes for creatives to sound natural. And I've been away from the podcast and I have kept up creativity, as medicine, because I need that. Like, it's the air that I breathe for me. Like, whether I'm paid or not, you know, I just have this need to continue to create, to have a platform, to share it, to share my journey with others in hopes that they learn from it and don't make not necessarily the same mistakes, because it's not about like cautionary tale, but it's more about what they can learn from my journey that maybe in align with theirs and what they can do, like take the baton on my end in a sense and then go further or faster or whatever the case may be, or use that idea to further heal their lives or create in their lives so that they feel more aligned and more passionate when it comes to their lives. Because there's someone here who is a woman, who's an immigrant, and who has this podcast or these videos or whatever it is, then why can't that person do it as well? Or why can't, or even it could be something as, you know, quote unquote small as feeling part of the community or feeling seen. Like, I understand them and like we have something in common, or even the women that I bring on the podcast. And I say all that because I talked about whether I'm getting paid or not, you know, and I've thought about that because I've had the podcast for longer than 7 years. I know there's some recordings, but that's because I had launched a podcast and then I kind of put a stop to it. And then I came back and kind of just relaunched it. And throughout that journey, I wanted to monetize it. I wanted to do this full time. And I'm just going to take a quick drink of water. I wanted to monetize this. I wanted to be a creative that was making money. I wanted to be a business owner that was making money off of what I love to do. I wish I can get paid for this, because this, for anyone that has their own podcast or you're curious, this takes a lot of work. And when I was bedridden and I was still doing the podcast, it's because, and I remember mentioning, like, listen, I don't have time to edit and promote and do all the things, and whoever is signed up to the podcast will get the alerts because I can't promote it. And I wanted to be paid for this, as I think We should, because we are producers, creators, we're marketers, all creatives across the board, whether you're a podcaster, YouTuber, whether you're on TikTok, writer, there is so much work put into this, but I think we definitely, there is a fear about charging. And then I also think like there's this activism, like within it, because if you are a woman of color, if you are an immigrant, if you are an other, you feel you're doing this for the community. And at the same time, there's this guilt, like you should just do it for free. You should just do it and to serve the community. But that was all well in doubt. Oh, well, that makes sense if we were living in a community base like years ago where you didn't have to worry about money because you were compensated in different ways, right? But now in this new society, we do need to financially support ourselves. And I feel like as immigrants, we're told that you should take the breadcrumbs that are given to you, whether that's in a, not so much in a creative, but when it comes to career, when it comes to working, like in a white man's world, you just kind of take what you can get. You should just be grateful, especially for those of us that have, residency status. For a lot of you that maybe don't know about being an immigrant, for those of us that have legal status here in the US and speak English, when we have these privileges, you should just be grateful. You should stop wanting for more, which is part of the trauma of coming here and staying invincible, and then just be happy that you're allowed in these spaces. And that's been traumatic, part of trauma for a lot of us, to want to get paid rightfully so for our work. To not feel that guilt of like putting your work out there to serve your community, right? Not asking for too much or like those kind of things. And I think that we should all feel compensated. We should all be paid and supported for our work. But I know that even some of the women that have come on into my platform, when they have charged, they have been attacked by like their own community. Why is it that price? Why is it so expensive? Why are you even charging like the audacity? And it was just like, if someone who is male and white were to charge what a lot of these women are giving at a very low rate, but wanting to continue to serve the community, they're gonna have to charge. Because they want to be able to do this type of work full time. They want to be able to put their work out there to help their community. But then, if your feedback is getting from the community that you shouldn't be charging, then how are you going to be able to do this work while you're working a 9 to 5 and then continue to do another, which is a full-time job? So it has been difficult to change that mindset, I think, for a lot of people. I definitely didn't raise my daughter that way, and I think it's an older generation. I see it changing because I don't want that for my daughter. She is serving her community, but she should be well compensated, and she should feel that she should be paid her worth because she is educated. She's continuing to hone her skills, and in order for her to continue to do this very hard work that she's doing, she needs to be compensated. And the thing is, like, it's not even about that. It's more so like you can't do work you love and get paid for it. That's what I definitely want our daughters to take with them. That thing doesn't have to be separate like it was for a lot of us. That for them, it's a one thing. It can all be possible under that umbrella. And now having to teach ourselves, right? My generation that listen, I'm going too, and I am going to work in a field where I love and enjoy my work, and I am well compensated for it. I am going to be paid for a business, but in order that takes so much. Like, it took this injury for me to realize that there's trauma in being an immigrant, of like, you should just be grateful. You should just be grateful that you have a job in this, whatever field you're in. And that it's crazy for you to think that you can make money off of being a creative or work you're passionate about. And so I've had to like really think about ways of like, how can I be compensated? Because I, with my disability now, I can't go back to a 9 to 5. I have to work from home. I am going to have to work part-time and part-time of that. And how can I be compensated and do work I love without feeling the need to just take on any job just for the sake of job? Because I know that I have to love what I am doing, be passionate, care about it, at a minimum, care about the work I do and the people that I work with or for or whatever it is. Because it's detrimental to my health if I don't, because I know it led to my injury, because it led to me being bedridden, because I wasn't taking care of myself, because I couldn't take the time off, because I had to ask permission, because I had to miss days, because of all of these things, not working for caring and compassionate people and not doing work that I loved. And understanding I could be compensated in the long run, that takes a toll on everyone in every aspect of your life. You can't be one thing at work and then another thing outside of work. You can't wait to do work you love outside of work. You want to have it be holistic, like be in all aspects of your life. And if you have to choose, it should definitely be at least at work. Because when you are working long hours or, whatever it is, you feel like I'm doing good work here. So although sometimes it's hard, although sometimes I have to work long hours, this is purpose-filled work. This is aligned work. This is work that I love. And that has definitely led to me, what can I do to monetize the podcast and kind of take the people, my community that follows me along, so that we can all learn together, starting with our mindset, right? And I'm definitely going to start, there's subscription based monthly subscriptions that you can sign up, and that I'm like, well, will people pay for it? Will they sign up for it? Will my readers, not readership, will my listenership, if that's a word, will it go down? Will people stop listening? And I thought I can offer content there, content, exclusive content. I can have exclusive interviews on there, and I think it'll also help me feel better about the work I do and show up more frequently because I am getting paid. I can treat it like a business, not just a hobby. I can treat it because it runs like a business. It's amazing work. I'm proud of it. And I know when people listen to it and when I see the numbers, I know I do good work. I know it touches people. I know it resonates with people. And so I looked into the monthly subscription. And I was like, 99 cents. I feel comfortable with that to start. And then, as just like, other platforms, there's a platform that I can't think of. I'm sure you can think about it, where people charge monthly. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna charge monthly, the 99 cents to start. And that'll somehow allow me to change my mindset that this is paid work. And that there is a community of and listeners that are expecting me to show up. And I owe it to them because they're paying and because I'm being paid, that I'm going to start to, show up on a more consistent basis. And it'll help me because it's my medicine. It's my medicine to show up and share. And although I've been doing videos, like TikTok videos, I have a bunch of them saved on my phone, I haven't been as consistent. And I know it's because when you do video, you have to put on makeup. The lighting needs to be right. You need to have your notes. And like, you just can't speak as freely as you can a podcast. It takes a while for you to get comfortable in front of a camera, you know? And so like with podcasting, I could just jump on here and talk about what is coming into my heart, or what it is I feel. And I can talk to my community, and I know whatever I'm going through resonates with them. Hey, hope you're enjoying the episode. Just a quick interruption. I wanted to check in and ask, how are you feeling? No, how are you really feeling? Feeling stuck, disconnected, or unsure of what's next? You know you want more, but you're not sure how to start. I felt this way several times throughout my life, so I started doing a lot of research, read books, and yeah, I even saw a therapist. I would have loved something that saved me time, gave me some clarity, and helped me start to transform my life. And hey, why not throw in some journal prompts to go along with it? So I decided to create a quick course to do just that. Now, this isn't a quick fix, solve all your problems type of course, but it is a way to start getting some much needed clarity on why you may be feeling this way. At the very least, my hope is that this course helps you feel like you're taking back some control and ownership of your life. For more information, go to the link in the show notes, plus get a coupon code. Now, back to the episode. Had to take a bit of a break because there is a dog that was living here and it was just barking and distracting, and I thought you can hear it in the background. But I was saying all of that about consistency, about getting compensated, you know, getting paid for your work, but knowing that you have to do it first. You have to find ways to get compensated for your work and find ways that it feels comfortable to you. And for me, starting out, the 99 cent monthly subscription is one way, because I know that I support a lot of people, and so I don't know why I was having such a like resistance to having a monthly subscription, you know. And I know that that's gonna help my mindset change as far as when it comes to switching, like, yeah, flipping that switch as to like, this can be possible for me. And I know that it's going to open different avenues and different ways of figuring out ways to monetize things for me and allow to be compensated in some way, right? And I was talking to a friend, because I have two friends that are creatives, one that started from writer and she started investing in real estate, and then another one who is a therapist, and then she's doing coaching and she's now taking on clients in that way. And all of us have had trouble being consistent and really putting our like work out there and really showing up. And I was mentioning to them that when I went to my physical therapist, that I'm learning to stand up on my own, and how difficult that was, because I can't get up from a chair unless I'm like, I use my cane, or I like hold myself in the chair and like push myself up. And so we're learning that in physical therapy, and how difficult it was the first time that I got up. It's like my brain has adjusted itself to just use my arms when I get up. And like trying my best to work through that, like push through that, has been extremely difficult. Like somehow my brain won't, like, the connection isn't made yet. You know, my brain has gotten used to, we use our arms when we stand up. We don't stand up and push from our heels and up. Something so simple, right, that people do every day. I haven't gotten there. So it was extremely difficult to do. But my therapist, like, you can do it, you can do it, you know, my physical therapist. And I finally did it and I did five, but I'm telling you, it was extremely difficult. And more so, not the physical part, but the connection between my brain understanding that this is the way it's supposed to be done. Why are you not connecting? And the longer I would take to stop between breaks, because I needed to do five at first, my brain just, it just wouldn't make the connection. It was like in complete denial and disconnect that I could actually do that. And until I started proving to my brain that I could do it. And then I told, you know, my friends that when I went back the next week, it was like starting all over. My brain's like, what are we doing? This is not what we do. We use our arms when we get up. Like the brain just wasn't understanding and I had to start over. And I was telling them that it's the same with consistency. Like when we're not consistent, our brain doesn't understand unless we make this a consistent thing. And I think it's the same. When we start off with a project or we start doing a new thing and we're not consistent with it, our brain doesn't comprehend and treats it like a new thing. So whenever you're out here trying something new and you wonder when you go back, why you procrastinate, why you self-sabotage, it really has to do so much with your brain just not understanding this new thing. It just doesn't make the connections. And the longer you wait, the less consistent you are, the more you self-sabotage, the more you procrastinate, because the brain just doesn't do the connection. But once you start doing it, if we would just be more consistent, if we would normalize these things, our brains would make the connection. Because the brain's like not here to self-sabotage or, you know, whatever. The brain's just here like to normalize things. And the normal thing is that we don't do that. We don't charge, you know, whatever it is your thing. And I think it, I just correlate it with me not charging or with me like not getting compensated for content creation, podcast, whatever that is, me not doing, like those two things don't align because I haven't normalized it for my brain, for my life. It's not that I can't, but my brain doesn't comprehend because it's like, oh, you go to a 9 to 5, which you hate, and you do creative work over here because that's just your life. So my brain is like, this is what we do. So when you try to do two things, it's not that you can't, it's just that your brain doesn't do the connections until you make the connection, until you normalize it. And I think that's for me, that's what I'm doing. I want to normalize these things, not just for me, right, but for others. And how can I do that? And one thing is continuing to be more consistent, continuing to figure out ways that I can have a career that has creativity in it, a career, a business that pays. When I do producing, when I do creative work, podcasting, videos, whatever it is. So yeah, I just wanted to jump on here, check in, and kind of see if you resonated with that. What is it in your life that you think your brain just hasn't made that connection and hasn't normalized things for you? It could be in relationships. Your brain could be like, no, we're not treated this way in this relationship. You know, this is how we're treated. Or career or money. Like, what have you not normalized for your brain so that it makes the connection? Or what have you tried to do in relationships, career, wherever, where you stopped and then you self-sabotage because you haven't been consistent enough? I hope to be more consistent in align with, of course, not just because of compensation or whatever, but also because what is aligned for my health and how can I work with my disability and my health as well. But if you're new here, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to help support the podcast, make sure that you become a monthly subscriber, because I have already started to close some of the episodes. I'm only going to exclusively share with those with your subscriber. I have more personal things I want to talk about, and I just think I would just feel more comfortable with a community with a monthly subscription, just because that's not open to everyone. And I just feel that I'd feel more comfortable sharing and being more open and vulnerable and personable, because not everybody has access to that. So yeah, thank you so much for listening, and yeah, I'll see you guys next time.